ధనమోర నిత్యానంద పతి మోర గౌరచంద్ర ప్రాణ మోరా యుగల కిశోరా అద్వైత ఆచార్య బల గదాధర మోర కుల నరహరి విలాసీ మోర ధన మోర నిత్యానంద పతి మోర గౌరచంద్ర ప్రాణ మోర యుగల కిశోర వైష్ణవేర పద ధూలి తాహి మోర స్నాన కేలి తర్పణ మోరా వైష్ణవేర నామ విచార కోరియా మనె భక్తి రస ఆస్వాదనె మధ్యస్థ శ్రీ భాగవత్ పురాణ ధన మోర నిత్యానంద పతి మోర గౌరచంద్ర ప్రాణ మోర యుగల కిశోర వైష్ణవేర ఉచిష్ట తాహి మోర మన నిష్ట వైష్ణవేర నామే ఉల్లాస ధన మోర నిత్యానంద పతి మోర గౌరచంద్ర ప్రాణ మోర యుగల కిశోర వృందావనె చబూతరా తాహి మోర మన ఘేరా కహే దినా నరోత్తమ దాస ବୃନ୍ଦାବନେ ଚବୁତରା ତାହେ ମୋର ମନ ଘେରା କହେ ଦିନ ନରୋତ୍ତମ ଦାସ ଧନ ମୋର ନିତ୍ୟାନନ୍ଦ ପତି ମୋର ଗୌରଚନ୍ଦ୍ର ପ୍ରାଣ ମୋର ଯୁଗଲ କିଶୋର ହରେ କୃଷ୍ଣ 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 ହରେ 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 ରାମ 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 ହରେ 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 କୃଷ୍ଣ 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 ହରେ 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 ରାମ 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 ହରେ 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 କୃଷ୍ଣ 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 ହରେ 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 ରାମ 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 ହରେ 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 କୃଷ୍ଣ 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 ହରେ 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 ରାମ 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 ହରେ ହରେ ମୋର ନିତ୍ୟାନନ୍ଦ ପତି ମୋର ଗୌରଚନ୍ଦ୍ର ପ୍ରାଣ ମୋର ଯୁଗଲ କିଶୋର
My treasure is Lord Nityananda, my master is Lord Gaurachandra, and my very life force is youthful divine couple of Raja. My strength is Advaita Acharya, my family is Gadadhar Pandit, and Narahari Sarkar is my very activity. My playful bath is taken in the dust from the feet of the devotees, and my satisfaction is in hearing and speaking the names of the Vaishnavas. My contemplation time is spent relishing the nectar of devotion highlighted by periodic quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam. My mind is fixed on obtaining the devotee's food remnants, and I blossom with joy at the remembrance of Vaishnava's names. My mind simply surrounds the raised platform in Vrindavan, where the rasa dance is performed. Thus speaks the lowly Narottam Das. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 16, text 21. The chapter is entitled The Divine and Demoniac Natures. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanah kama krodastatha lobha tasmat etat trayam tyajet. Translation in purport by the divine grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Purport: the beginning of demoniac life is described herein. One tries to satisfy his lust, and when he cannot, anger and greed arise. A sane man who does not want to glide down to the species of demoniac life must try to give up these three enemies, which can kill the self to such an extent that there will be no possibility of liberation from this material entanglement. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. So Hare Krishna. At the very outset, I would like to welcome all of you wonderful devotees who have made it to our Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir this afternoon for the Sunday feast program. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, briefly describes his abode, which is known as Krishna Lok or Golok Vrindavan, in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says, Na tad bhasayate suryo, na shashanko na pavakaha, yad gatva na nivartante, tad dhama paramamama. So the Lord says that the supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this world. So this is a very, very cryptic and brief description of Golok Vrindavan, which is actually the final destination of everybody sitting here. Everybody wants to go there. So, na yad gatva na nivartante. Once we reach Golok Vrindavan, so there is no question of coming back to this miserable material world. Why? Because Golok Vrindavan is Sukhalayam Shashvatam. Whereas we are living in a material world, which is a perverted reflection of that. It is Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. So having gone to this wonderful, beautiful world of the Supreme Lord Krishna, nobody wants to come back. So everyone in Golok Vrindavan is very, very happy, joyous, worshipping Krishna. He is the only one who is worshipped there. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam. So he is the only Aradhya Bhagavan, nobody else. Whether one is a pebble or a stubble of grass or a tree or a creature or anybody, everyone worships the Supreme Lord in Golok Vrindavan. And everyone is the Lord's servitor. So what are the qualities of the servitors there? Everyone has realized his swarupa. Jivere Swarupo hai, Krishnere Nitya Das. Everyone there has realized that. So what are the different transcendental qualities which exist in the spiritual world? So there are six transcendental qualities which exist in the spiritual world. And of course, this verse is talking about three perverted reflections of those six transcendental qualities. So the very first quality is Krishna Prem, unalloyed devotional service, unalloyed love for Krishna. And what is the perversion that we see in the material world? That is kama, lust. The second one, beautiful quality is daya, compassion. And the perverted attribute that we see in this world is krodha, anger. Then we have munificence or udarata. And as against that, we have in this perverted material world, lobha. And then there is transcendental knowledge, jnana. And we have here illusion or moha. Then we have humility or namrata. As against that, we have here pride, mother. And finally, everyone is surrendered entirely, totally to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna there, which is Atmanivedan. Whereas here, we have matsara, we are envious. So these are the perverted reflections of the transcendental qualities which exist in the spiritual world. And in that spiritual world, there is no strife, there are no murders, there are no bombs, nothing. Everything is tranquil, everything is peaceful, everything in love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this particular verse, Krishna is describing three qualities which are the perverted reflections of the first three transcendental qualities that were named. Namely, these are lust, anger, and greed. And Krishna says that these are the three gates to hell. Three gates. So one gate is good enough to go to hell, but there are three gates to go to hell. And Krishna gives a three-word injunction. He says, etat trayam tyajet. He says, give up all these three things. So this is the instruction that this verse is giving us. Why does the Lord say give up this? Because these three, that is kama, krodha and lobha, these come in way of attainment of the spiritual goal of all living entities. All human beings, Srimad Bhagavatam advises, savai punsam paro dharma yato bhakti adhokshaje ahetuki apratihata yayatma suprasidasi. So the Srimad Bhagavatam says that the supreme occupation or dharma for the entire humanity by which is loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted if it has to completely satisfy the self. So the complete satisfaction or trupti or contentment and or the joy that we experience in the spiritual world, the same thing is attainable when we totally surrender to the Lord by our ahetuki and apratiyata bhakti, by which the self is totally pleased. So Krishna describes elsewhere in response to Arjuna's famous question. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks a beautiful question. Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichchanapi vashneya baladiva niyojate. So this question is asked by Arjuna. He says that, O Lord Krishna, what is it that impels human beings to commit sin? And then Krishna gives that famous reply. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhavaha, mahashano mahapapma, vidhi enam iva vairinam. So the first two enemies are described by Krishna. He says that these are all devouring, sinful, you know, attributes which we can have, which spur us on to sinful activity. And therefore, these must be shunned. So if these two are the enemies that Krishna describes in this verse, the third one, namely greed, is the enemy number three. Greed. And the turbulent, violent, fear-ridden society in which we are living today actually can be ascribed to these three enemies. Kama, krodha and lobha. We see grandson murdering grandfather, student murdering the teacher, virtually servant murdering the master. All kinds of violence that we see in the society today can basically be ascribed to these three qualities. So today, I would like to discuss specifically about greed. So what is greed? We very often, after we come into Krishna consciousness, we hear this statement, Krishna satisfies our need, but does not satisfy our greed. So there is a difference between need and greed. So when we are content with what we get as our need, then we are joyful. But when we want to go beyond the need and want to satisfy that greed, then we'll go to any length of trouble. We'll perform all kinds of violent deeds just to satisfy that greed. And that is exactly what is prevalent in today's society. So what is greed? Let us try to understand. Greed is described as trishna, unquenchable thirst. Thirst which can never ever be quenched under any situations. So in Niti Shastra, there is a very beautiful verse which talks about this greed or trishna. Ichchati shati sahasram sahasri lakshami hate kartum lakshadipati rajam rajepi sakala chakravartitvam chakradharopi suratvam suratvalabhe sakala surapatitvam bhavitum surapati urdhvagatitvam tathapi na nivartate trishna. So it's a very instructive, and actually what is happening in the society, the same thing is projected. Apparently, all these three qualities have existed from time immemorial. Ever since the living entity wanted, rejected association of the Lord in the spiritual world and came into this material world, these three qualities have existed. So this Niti Shastra says, Ichchati Shati Sahasram. The one who has 100 rupees, he wants 1,000. Shati, the owner of 100, wants 1,000. It can be rupees, it can be paise, it can be dollars. It can be pounds, whatever. And then, Shatadipati wants to become Sahasradipati. Shati Sahasram. So, and Sahasri Lakshamihate. So, one who has 100 wants 1,000, and one who has 1,000, he wants lakhs. So, he wants to become Lakshadipati. Of course, in today's world, lakhs do not mean much. It could be Karodpati, it could be Abjapati. You can extend it. Then, is that Lakshadipati very happy person? Kartum Lakshadipati Rajyam. So the rich billionaire, he wants to become a king or he wants to become a cabinet minister. That is his desire. Then Rajyopi Sakala Chakravartitvam. So being a king is not enough. The king wants to become an emperor. He wants to become, if there is a minister, he wants to become prime minister. Or he wants to become a president, so on and so forth. And Chakradharopi Suratvam. So is the emperor content with what he gets? No. He wants to become a demigod, Suratvam. And then, one who has attained this status of demigod, is he also content? No. Suratvalabhe Sakala Surapatitvam. So one who has got this demigod status, he wants to become Indra. Sakala Surapati Patitvam, he wants to become Indra. And then, is Indra a happy person? We just have to go through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam to know that Indra is not a happy person. Yeah? So in fact, he comes in way of those who perform sacrifices. If somebody has performed 99, when the 100th is to be performed, he comes and interrupts the proceedings. So that is Indra. And then, Bhavitum Surapatitvam Urdhagatitvam. So he wants to rise even higher. So thus we see that the ways of Trishna or greed are really mysterious, very, very difficult. So the greed of a person can never ever be satisfied unless there is a spiritual component to such a person's life. So greed doesn't retire. We may retire at a particular stage. Because our desires never retire, and because desires never retire, greed also doesn't retire. So Shripad Shankaracharya, he says that in the famous verse, Angam Galitam Dalitam Mundam Jatam Tundam Dashana Vihinam Vruddho Yati Gruitva Dandam Tadapina Munchati Asha Pindam. So he says that angam galitam. At old age, everybody's body becomes very loose, on the verge of collapse. Bent body. Dalitam mundam, everything. And then, jatam tundam dashana vihinam. The teeth. Teeth are lost, the hair becomes white, palitam mundam. Then, vruddho yati gruhitva dandam. So at an old, when we are, one is old, one can't walk. It requires a stick to walk. But is he free from desires? No. Tadapi na munchati asha pindam. Not able to give up. So desires which are unsatisfied either lead to krodha or they lead to greed. That is what Srila Prabhupada says in his purport. So it's not possible to really retire from greed unless one takes to a spiritual process in one life. There is a very instructive story. Greed has nothing to do with our status in life. I may be the poorest of the poor, or I may be a king, but still I could be a greedy person. So it's a beautiful story to highlight this aspect of greed. So there was in ancient time, there was a king whose name was Srinjay. So this Srinjay had a daughter, but did not have a son. So he wanted to have a son. Dynasty should continue. So, with a view to beget a son, he started serving Brahmanas who are called Vedajna. Vedam Jnati iti Vedajna. One who knows the Vedas, such Brahmanas were served by this Srinjay. He gave them a lot of wealth, he honored them, he served them very nicely. And all these Brahmanas became very pleased with this King Srinjay. Became very pleased with him. And they knew what was in his heart, what is it that he wanted. So once it so happened that Devarshi Narad happened to be there, and the Brahmanas approached Narad Muni on behalf of the king. And they said, this king, Srinjay, is very, very unhappy because he has no son. So please give him benediction that he can have a son. So Srinjay, now that Devarshi Narad said, all right, if all of you want this, okay, why not? So Srinjay was brought into the presence of Devarshi Narad. And then Devarshi Narad asked, what is it that you desire? What type of son do you want to have? So now that his desire was about to be fulfilled, he was on the threshold of the desire going to be fulfilled, at that point, greed entered the mind of Srinjay. He asked for a unique, strange type of benediction. He said, please give me a son who is handsome, who is healthy, who has got all good qualities. So nothing wrong with this request. But then he added, he said, that this son, his urine, his stool, and his spit should be golden. In other words, his urine, his spit should be gold, even his stool. So this is the greed component to the king's request. Now, he was in presence of the saintly personality Narad Muni. He could have asked for the highest benediction, Krishna Pem. He could have asked for Krishna Bhakti. He could have asked for any other thing, but he asked this particular boon. So making a choice is a very, very important aspect of our life. Even when one is in presence of the Lord himself or even in presence of a divine personality like Narad Muni, if we have not made our proper choice in life all along, then at the crucial moment we will make choices like this. So he made this request, and then Narad Muni contemplated for some time. He says, what is this person asking? Why is he asking such a stupid thing? But then he said, all right, tathastu. Whatever destiny wills, that will take place. And then the king did get a son. He was named as Suvarnashthivi. And his stool, urine and spit would become gold. Whenever he passed urine, it would become gold. So, virtually this Srinjay had a gold manufacturing son at home. No mining necessary. No intricate processes for recovery of gold and all that. Straight away, Gold was produced. So everything in his kingdom became golden. Everything, virtually. The walls, the ceiling, the floor. Naturally, so much gold being produced. And this Suvarnashtivi, the son of Srinjaya, he became very famous. People started coming to see him from all corners. Who is this person who is producing gold like this? Very unique. So he became very, very attractive to people, and people would come. Now, just as he became attractive to the people at large, he became very, very attractive to robbers and dacoits as well. Very, very attractive. And dacoits and robbers started visiting the palace of Srinjaya to somehow or the other kidnap this gold-producing mine. So they tried several times, and of course, Srinjaya created wonderful security systems. But we know what security systems are all about. The only security that can be provided is by the Supreme Lord Krishna. Bhajau re mana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Ravindare. So there is no question of anybody providing security. So through all these security systems, one day the highway robbers succeeded in kidnapping this son, Suvarnashtivi. They just kidnapped him and took him to the forest. Now, sure enough, the king's soldiers, they tried to chase these robbers. They tried to find out where they have gone. But when these robbers reached the forest, this Srinjaya's son, Suvarnashtivi, was in their possession. So, as normally happens with people who have no intellect, they started arguing about possession rights. Who should possess this Suvarnashtivi? So there was an argument, intense argument and a fight. So who should be? And there was no court to decide because they were robbers. So they had to decide among themselves what they should do. And then they reached a very, very intelligent conclusion. Intelligent question mark. They said, we'll do one thing. We'll cut this Suvarnashtivi into fine pieces. And we will divide the pieces amongst themselves because all of them will become gold. After all, if his stool can become gold, if his urine can become gold, his piece of body, you know, must become gold. So they used this kind of strange logic and they killed, mercilessly killed that boy and they cut him into pieces. And of course, there was no gold. The benediction which Narad Muni had given was not for pieces of flesh. What was produced was only blood and flesh. There was no gold produced. So soon, the soldiers, the guards of King Srinjaya caught up with these robbers. They saw that their prince had been killed ruthlessly, and obviously they were all killed also. So what did Srinjaya get in the bargain? He had no son. Because of his greed, he lost his son. Because of the greed, even the robbers lost what they had kidnapped. So eventually, greed leads only to sinful activity. It doesn't lead to anything good. Therefore, greed has got to be avoided. So it's a thirst which is very, very difficult to quench. We think that we have satisfied our greed, but it can never ever be satisfied. So in Kali Yuga, there are millions and millions of Srinjayas, millions of people. There is abundance of modern day Srinjayas. So we have so many scams, Hawala scam, and then fake paper stamp scam, this scam, that scam. And usually they are never in 100 rupees or 1000 rupees. They talk of crores. 300 crore fake stamp scam. How many zeros are there? You can figure out. This type of things are happening, and all these are happening because of greed. And this greed need not necessarily be only for money. It could be greed for votes. It could be greed for puja, labha, pratishtha. All kinds of different hues and varieties of greed exist in this material world. And this whole world in which we are living now is filled with sinful activity, which primarily arise because of these three, especially greed. And our newspapers, our television channels, all these reflect this kind of greed. Now, a very important point to consider is, all right, I am greedy and I can accumulate a lot of wealth. But does this greed save me from four miseries? Does anybody accumulating lot of wealth which can last, or becoming Bill Gates, say, does it ensure freedom from four miseries? Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. There is no insurance against this. So out of greed, we may spend whole life accumulating money, 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 money. And suddenly, one day we may trip on a banana skin, fall and die. What is the use of this greed? So wasted our lifespan, totally, totally gone. So our wealth, our status, nothing can guarantee us freedom from these four miseries. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. We have a very beautiful instructive story of Gautam Buddha. All of you are familiar with that, but for my purification, I would like to repeat it. So Siddhartha was the beloved son of Shuddhodan, King Shuddhodan and Anjana. And when Siddhartha was born, the king, Shuddhodan, he called an astrologer and said that, predict the future of this son. So the astrologer came and he gave a prediction which didn't please his parents. He said that this child is going to give up everything. He's going to renounce everything and just go away. Now Shuddhodan, like any material worldly father, he thought, why should our son leave? And he has everything. And so right from his birth, virtually, Siddhartha was insulated from, not Janma, he was already born, but he was insulated from Vyadhi. Jara, Vyadhi and Mrityu, he was insulated from that. So this way, he lived a very, very comfortable life within the four walls of the palace. He never went out. He never saw an old man. He never saw a diseased person. He never saw a dead body. And he grew up to be a young man. And then he was married to a very beautiful girl called Yashodhara. So life was going on very nicely. And this was Shuddhodan's plan. But as the Lord willed it, and Gautam Buddha is one of the incarnations of Krishna. So one day, he just asked his charioteer to take him out of the palace. And he went out and then he came across a person who was old. Dashanavinam Jatam Tundam. He saw such a person walking with a stick. He said, who is this creature? Never seen before. He said, sir, this is an old man. And little ahead they went, then he saw another person who was coughing and, you know, sick, almost on the, you know, not able to walk, very, very miserable. He said, who is this? He said, this is a sickly man, sick man. He's got disease. All these were wonders to Siddhartha, because he did not know, he had never been exposed to this. And then finally he came across people, a throng of people who were carrying a body. He said, who is this? He said, this is a dead person. He's not breathing anymore. So all these were revelations to Siddhartha. So these experiences, when he came back, he immediately understood that the life that he was leading was totally nonsensical and useless. And then he left. He left, he renounced everything, his beautiful wife, his kingdom, his parents. And he just left and he started doing severe austerities. And we know how he performed austerities under a Bodhi tree. And he became, there was enlightenment and he was called as Gautama Buddha. And he advocated non-violence and especially stopped the slaughter of animals. Sadaya Hrudaya Darshita Pashughatam Keshavadhrita Buddha Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare. That's Gautam Buddha. So thus we understand that out of greed, even if we accumulate a lot of wealth, accumulate so many facilities, it still doesn't make us happy. So there is no case for becoming greedy in our life. So we know the problem that greed is bad. So what is the solution? So the Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam tells Uddhava. He tells him that Daridraha Yaha Tu Asantushtaha Krupanaha Ya Ajitendriyaha. He says, who is Daridra and who is rich? This one has to understand very, very carefully. Especially the devotees need to understand this very, very carefully. I'm speaking for myself, not for enlightened souls in this audience. That one who is not contented, even if he is the richest among the rich, he is to be treated and considered as poverty stricken. And one who may be very, very poor, but is totally contented with what the Lord has given, he is to be considered as the richest among the rich. He is rich because he is totally satisfied. He is happy. So, you may ask, what is the role model for such contented people? Obviously, they are devotees. It's got to be a devotee who understands what is the goal of life. It's a contented person. The Lord may put him in a very luxurious situation or in a poverty-stricken condition, but he understands and therefore he is contented with what the Lord has given. So we have a beautiful example or beautiful story of Kolavecha Sridhar, an ideal example. So it is described that Kolavecha Sridhar, he used to make his living selling banana leaves, banana cuffs, and he would sell them at a very reasonable rate. Very, very reasonable rate. And every day, practically, the Supreme Lord himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time he was Nimai Pandit, not become a renunciant then. He would go to this Kolavecha Sridhar every day and he would higgle haggle with him. He says that you are selling this for so many paise, you are charging too much. Give me, you know, at a concessional rate. This way there would be arguments every day. And Sridhar Kolavecha, he was a totally on a spiritual platform. He would say, I'm charging you very reasonable amount. I'm not charging you too much. But Lord Nimai Pandit would say, no. You are charging too much. This is too much. That way there would be constant, you know, loving arguments between the Lord and his devotee. Every day virtually. And this Sridhar Kolavecha, whatever income he would get, 50% of that he would offer to Ganga Mai. You perform puja every day and give that. Very contented with his life. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj had once talked about him in a lecture. He said that the place, the hut where he lived, the roof had more holes than roof. And the kurta that he was wearing, it had so many knots because there are more holes in it than actually cloth. So you tie it. So there are so many knots. Such a poverty-stricken condition, but totally contented and totally happy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would tell him, he said, Kolavecha Sridhar, I know that you have got immense treasure with you. Actually, he had nothing. He said, you have got a lot of treasure with you. You have so much wealth. Sridhar Kolavecha said, where do I have any wealth? I have nothing. But no, you have it. And one day I am going to expose this. And then the Lord did expose it. When did he do it? He did it during the Saptaprahari Leela, Mahaprakash Leela. So, he, at that point in time, Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit exposed his spiritual, you know, component. He exposed that he is himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was a truth which was known only to his close devotees. And during that Mahaprakash Leela, Kolavecha Sridhar was brought there. Actually, hardly anybody knew him. He was not somebody highly honored or respectable, affluent person. But somehow or the other, by Nimai Pandit's instruction, he was brought there, and then the Lord asked him, what is it that you want? He said, I can give you anything that you want. I can give you the highest, the pleasures of the heavens. I can give you all the riches, anything that you ask. Ask for the sky and it will be given to you. But this wonderful personality, Kolavecha Sridhar, he said, I want none of these things. He said, I only pray at your lotus feet that your pastimes that you did, coming and taking, you know, this kola or the kelas or banana leaves, bananas, this higgle haggling, please let that pastime be enacted in my heart every day of my life. This is the only benediction that I want. So, if you look at a surface value, superficially, Kolavecha Sridhar is poorest among the poor, but he is richest among the rich because he had this wealth of Krishna Prema in his heart. He had this Krishna Prema in his heart, therefore he is very, very wealthy. So, contentment is not something One may say, all right, he was contented. But this is not something which comes easily to every materially inclined person. Being satisfied with what one has is a spiritual quality. One may not be satisfied with having anything. See, most of the scams that we see in newspapers are not about poor people. They are about, you know, ministers, or they are about, you know, millionaires who earn, you know, money in millions. They are the people who get into scams. So this is a spiritual quality. And therefore, only when we are in devotional service can we hope or aspire to have this quality in us. So, Srila Prabhupada was very, very fond of this verse from Ishopanishad, which talked about simple living and high thinking. He would say, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkinchit jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita magrudahi kasya svidhanam. He would say, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. So a person has to understand that everything, whether it is moving or non-moving, everything in this world belongs to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Nothing is ours. And we should accept only those things which are our quota. Tena taktena bhunjita. We should not aspire for things which are not ours in the first place. In the first place, nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to the Lord. So, in principle, nothing is ours. But we have to make a living, we have to live. So, to make, you know, body and soul, you know, together, we have to earn a living, we have to do certain activities. So, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam tena tyaktena bhunjita. The most important thing is to understand is what is it that we deserve to get? What is our quota? And we should not hanker after things which do not belong to us, knowing that they belong to Krishna. So this single principle of understanding that everything belongs to Krishna and nothing belongs to us, and we are merely the trustees, not proprietors, trustees. Trustee doesn't own anything. Srila Prabhupada would often give the example of a cashier in a bank. He says that if a cashier gets a check for 30 lakhs, he doesn't collapse out of joy. 30 lakhs check I have received. Or if somebody withdraws 35 lakhs from the bank, he doesn't, you know, collapse on the floor. 35 lakhs gone. No, because why? Because he knows that he is handling the cash transactions, but he is only, he's doing it in the capacity like a trustee, he's a cashier. He's not attached to that. So similarly, our understanding that we own nothing, we are simply the caretakers of whatever has been given to us, whether it is our family, whether it is our job or whatever else, if we adopt in our life, Srila Prabhupada says, then we could be free from this greed. Very, very simple. So Prabhupada said, simple living, high thinking. You can be very simple in your living habits, Now, this doesn't mean that those who are living now in a bungalow, they should quit and go and stay in a hut. It is the principle which you have to understand, which you have to accept very nicely. So His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, while talking about simple living and high thinking, he would sometimes say, high thinking doesn't mean that you go to the 106th floor of a tower and start thinking. That is not high thinking. He would say, this is not high thinking. High thinking, you know, is thinking about spiritual subject matters. You may live in any condition of life, but think about the spiritual. So, thus, all these anarthas, kama, krodha, lobha, mada, moha, matsara, all these anarthas, perverted reflections of divine qualities, they are in us. We just can't wish them away. We can't say, all right, you retire from my life. No, they are going to be there. They are there very much in our life. And how do we get rid of that? Somehow or other, the Prabhupada gives that another famous example. He gives it in Nectar of Instruction also. He talks about a bag of grain which is left on the street. He says that a bird, you know, a sparrow will come and peck at that and take maybe few grains. A dog may come. Dog has nothing to do with that type of food. It will not even look at it, not even sniff at it. But he says that if a man comes there, he will not take only his quota, tena tektena bunjita, what is required for morning meal or evening meal. He will carry the cart along the entire bag. So that is greed. So we have to get rid of that. To get rid of this kind of greedful propensity, we have to dovetail that in service of Krishna. So all these anarthas, they are there within us and we have to dovetail them. And Narottam Das Thakur, in two beautiful verses, talks about this. He says, Kama krodha lobha moha madha matsarya dambasahe sthane sthane niyukta kariba ananda kari hrudaya ripu kari parajaya anayase govinda bhajiba. Then he says, Kama krishna karmarpane krodha bhakta dveshi jane lobha sadhu sange harikatha moha ishtalabha vine madha krishna gunagane niyukta kariba yathatatha. Very, very instructive thing, especially for neophyte devotees like us. Very beautiful instruction. He says that I will engage lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy and pride in appropriate ways by defeating these enemies. He says I will defeat these enemies. I will feel happiness in my heart as I peacefully worship Govinda. Now, you cannot peacefully worship Govinda when these anarthas are playing havoc in our body, in our consciousness. We cannot. Only when these anarthas get minimized, then can we start worship. Real worship of the Lord will begin when our anarthas go away. So he says, I will peacefully worship Govinda. How will I do it? He says, I will engage lust by offering it in Krishna's service. I will offer this tendency of lust. I will offer it. I will love Krishna and his devotees. That way I will get rid of this. Then anger, he says, I will direct it toward those who are envious of the devotees. So envious of the devotees means krodha bhakta dveshi jane. So those who hate devotees, I will get angry with them. And that way I will dovetail my anger. And he says that I will be greedy to hear the topics of Hari. How? In association of devotees. So I will dovetail my greed. Then I will feel illusioned without achieving my worshipable Lord. Achieving the lotus feet of my worshipable Lord is my goal of life. So I will not be satisfied until I do that. I will always feel illusioned until I achieve this. Then I will be maddened while singing the glories of Krishna. I will be maddened. This way all my tendencies, anartha-ridden tendencies, I will dovetail them in service of the Lord. In this way, I will engage these enemies in their proper places. So, fitting these anarthas in their proper places, that is what we learn in Krishna consciousness. So basically, Krishna consciousness is the solution to the problem of fighting all the enemies, which also includes greed. So we can fight greed only when we come into the process of Krishna consciousness. Now, the spiritual quality which corresponds to greed is udarata or munificence. Not appropriating things, but giving away things. That is udarata. A greedy person wants to accumulate more. Whereas an udara person, a munificent person, gives away. So the beautiful and the most glorious example of udarata we have is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is referred to as Udara Purushottama. Krishna is Purna Purushottama. Prabhu Ramchandra is referred to as Maryada Purushottama. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referred to as Udara Purushottama. He gave away, he distributed the love of God to anyone and everyone. Therefore, he is referred to as Udara. The highest thing that you can give in charity is love of Godhead. Not wealth, not diamonds, nothing. It's only love of Godhead. And that love of Godhead was distributed freely by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are there on the altar. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Udara Purushottama. So how to fight these anarthas? We can learn them from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instructing Sanatana Goswami, identifies five most important items. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shravan Maturavasa Shri Murtir Shraddhaya Seva. So he says that one should associate with devotees. This is number one, Sadhu Sangha. Number two, Nam Kirtan. Chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the most glorious activity. The second, third one, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third thing which the Lord recommends. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. So nityam bhagavata sevaya. So we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is Srimad Bhagavatam, the scripture, and we also have the person Bhagavatam. So if you can hear Srimad Bhagavatam from person Bhagavatam, it is wonderful. But we must make an endeavor to hear Bhagavatam. Then he says, one, make an attempt to reside at Mathura. Through the various yatras that we do, we make an attempt to stay. We become Mathura Vasi or Vrindavan Vasi. And then says, Shri Murtir Shraddhaya Seva. Worship the deity with faith and veneration. Shraddhaya. So we have the Archavigra forms of Shri Radha Gopinath on the altar. Gauranitai and Gopalji, and then also Vishakha and Lalita, they are there on the altar. So how do we worship them? We worship them with faith, Shraddhaya Seva. So this is the fundamental thing. We have come into Krishna consciousness, we are visiting Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir, and when we visit this temple, for that matter, when we visit any of the ISKCON temples, all these five items are handed over on a platter to us. Ready-made. We don't have to struggle struggle for this. We get association of devotees. Right now I'm getting association of all these wonderful devotees gathered here. Then we are able to chant the holy names. We do chant the holy names. We do Sankirtan. So we get that. And then Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day there is discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam. And then yatras are organized for us by the devotees, so that we can purify ourselves. The entire purpose of all this, worshipping the deity, is Shraddha. All these things are happening, and Srila Prabhupada, our Param Guru, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, has given these things to us just like that, ready-made. How very fortunate and how very grateful we should be that these are given to us, and we have a process of chanting out the holy names, whereby we can get rid of these anarthas. So the purpose of any spiritual practice, any yoga system, is to become purified. Get rid. Becoming purified also means getting rid of impure things. And all these enemies, Shadripus, who are residing, that includes greed, they all should be got rid of, and for that, bhakti is one of the most beautiful things. So Navavida Bhakti, Shravana Kirtana, Smarana Vandana, Pada Sevana, Dasyare, Pujana Sakijana, Atmani Vedana. So these are the processes of Navavida Bhakti, which we get through these temples. So Prabhupada would call his temples, not just temples, he would call them universities, where education is given, but not education of the Jada variety, not Jada Vidya, Atma Vidya, spiritual education would be given. So the temples, he would call them, they are universities. Whereas actually the so-called universities and the IITs do not talk about even the spirit soul. He went to MIT and said that, where is there a department which talks about the spirit soul? There was none. So thus we find that the temple gives us everything. So anarthas can be got rid of only by this process. So we have to dovetail our greed. So what should we be greedy for? So we should be greedy for association of devotees. We should be very greedy. We should not think that greed is a perverted reflection and therefore I have nothing to do with it. Yes, have greed, but have greed for the right things. So be greedy for association. Be greedy for inoffensive and attentive chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Try. We should make an endeavor to chant in the presence of, in association. Then be greedy for hearing. And that is the recommended drug for fighting, you know, greed. Hearing. Hearing Krishna Katha in association of devotees. So greedy for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Now this should be in the mood of Shaunak Muni. Now Shaunak Muni, who was heading the sages of Naimisharanya, he requested Srila Suta Goswami, who was narrating to them the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, Vayam tuna vitrupyam uttama shloka vikrame yashrunvatamra sadhyanam swadu swadu pade pade. So Shaunak Muni is making this request to Srila Suta Goswami. He says that we never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Uttama shloka is glorified. We never ever tire. So this is being said by Shaunak Muni. The exalted sages are saying that we should never be tired of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Many times we have this proclivity to say, he is giving this Bhagavatam class, but you know, I heard this, you know, such and such a place at such and such a time, and you know, he was much better. That person was much better. Now this tendency we have, but here they are saying that vayam tu na vitrupyama. That means we never ever are tired of hearing you, Srila Suta Goswami. You please continue your beautiful narration, Krishna Katha of Srimad Bhagavatam. We want to hear you. And we find that it is swadu swadu pade pade. He says that it is, we relish it every now and then, pade pade. It's wonderful. Please, we want to hear it again and again. So as our purification progresses, as we become free from the anarthas, we start relishing the pastimes of Krishna, even hearing the pastimes of Krishna. We start relishing association of devotees. Very many times we tell our counselees, come to the temple and chant in association. Association. I'm chanting at home 16 rounds. What is the problem? So this tendency is there, but association has that importance. So we have to hear in association. And yat shrunvatam rasajnanam. What is rasajnanam? Those who have developed a taste. We have to develop a taste eventually. Otherwise, we will not be able to do. Anything in material life also, unless we have taste for it, we cannot do. So we have to develop a taste. Of course, that will come in course of time by the Lord's mercy, by spiritual master's mercy. So this quality of not ever tiring of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important. And Lord Chaitanya himself demonstrated this quality. He would go to his associate, Gadadhar Pandit, and every day hear the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. He never said, you know, yesterday also you had talked about it, day before yesterday also you had said this. No, every day the Lord would hear it. And as he would hear it, and as Gadadhar Pandit would recite, tears would flow from their eyes. They relished it so much that it is said that the words that were there from whatever they were reading, they were getting obscured due to tears. So this was the taste. So vayam tu na vitrupyama. We should never ever be, you know, bored or fed up of association or devotees or hearing or chanting of the holy names. So this is very, very important quality to have. And then of course, wherever possible, we should try to join the yatras. Of course, coming to Shishi Radha Gopinath Mandir is no less than a yatra nowadays, at least. People are scared of bombs and traveling all the way, coming here. This is something like a yatra now, coming to this. It's wonderful yatra. And then worship of the deities with faith, with Shraddha. Very, very important. Thus, we can get rid of all these qualities. So, the temple itself is providing us with this association. So, the Supreme Lord Krishna highlights association in the it is in the 11th canto, in the 12th chapter, the Lord says to Uddhava, he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Na Rodhayati Mam Yogo Na Sankhyam Dharma Evacha Na Swadhyaya Tapatyaga Na Ishtapurtam Na Dakshina Vratani Yajna Chandamsi Tirthani Niyamayamaha Yata Avarundhate Satsang Sarvasang Apaha Imam. So very beautiful verse in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is emphasizing the importance of satsang. He says, my dear Uddhav, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. So, he says that, and such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotees. Na rodhayati mam yogo. The practice of yoga, ashtanga yoga, and other things, philosophical discussions, philosophical analysis, all kinds of sankhya yoga practices, none of these things, he says, is of any use, is of any, doesn't please me. But what pleases me is simply, yatha avarundhe satsangaha sarvasanga apaha imam. He says that what actually brings me under the control of the devotees is association of the devotees. And therefore, association of devotees is very, very important, and hearing in presence of, you know, devotees is very, very important. So this should be our goal in our Krishna conscious, you know, approach to life. So we should practice. So now, very soon, in a few weeks away, Krishna Janmashtami is coming very fast. So we can pray at the lotus feet of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, Shri Gopalji, Lalita Vishakha, and all our Shat Goswamis were there, all of them in the altar. We should pray that please let free us from the anarthas, kama, krodha, lobha, madha, moha, matsa. Please purify us, make us fit instruments in your hands for proceeding in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, if you so desire, you can also pray that let me please be greedy for association. Let me be please be greedy for inoffensive and attentive chanting of the holy names. That way we can make prayers also to the Supreme Lord, and hope and pray that the Lord, who is very compassionate, will confer those qualities on us. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. If anybody has any questions or comments, yeah. No, I think he's passing on. 1 minute, Prabhuji, I think that mic is coming to you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I want to know regarding tena tyaktena bhunjithaha. As it is, tyakta means to give up or sacrifice, and bhunjithaha means to enjoy. So both the things are apart from each other. So I want to know that much. I know ma grudaya asya siddhvanam.
Yeah. So what it means is that which is assigned by the Supreme Lord as our quota, tena tyaktena, whatever is assigned by the Supreme Lord as our quota, that only we should take. It's like the rationing system. Once upon a time, the government used to, you know, disburse grains to the rationing system. Those who are in a particular income group, they would get, you know, kerosene and grains. Some others who had higher income group, they would not get kerosene, they would get something else, like that. So, So therefore, we have to understand that the Lord has earmarked certain things for us according to what activities we have performed in our previous life. Whatever karma we have performed previously, according to that, we are going to get certain destination in this life. Somebody is born in a millionaire's family, somebody is born in the slums, maybe born at the same time. So there is something, some quota, something that we should get and we get. So be satisfied with it. The principle is to be happy in whatever situation we have been placed. That's our quota, that we have to be happy with that. Magridahi kasya svidhanam. We don't hanker after something which is not ours. Why? Because it belongs to the Lord. That is my understanding. Of course, there are more exalted souls here who can elaborate on it better. Yeah, okay. Hari Bol. Actually, this particularly in your response to your question, this principle actually deals with the concept of sharing. Sharing what we have. Actually, everything belongs to the Lord. So everything that we have is His. So actually, even for Janmashtami, when we are, you know, giving some donation, it is not something we are doing something great. We are giving something that belongs to Him. But, you know, we are acknowledging, oh Lord, that You gave this. And therefore, you know, as our gesture of love towards You, we are giving it. So it's a right, you know, thinking. Yeah, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
See, Lord Gautama Buddha, who founded a Buddhist religion, after experiencing great war, Kalinga, king like Ashoka also embraced Buddhist principles. I don't know if still people want to go for material life instead of a spiritual life. Take for example, landline, telephone to cell phone line.
I have not followed your question properly, but if I understand you rightly, what you are trying to say is that the great philosophy that was given by Gautam Buddha, how it has deteriorated over a period of time.
Spiritual life, they all taught a spiritual life, like Gautama Buddha, and king like Ashoka, after great war of Kalinga, embraced a Buddhist principles. I don't know, still people want to go for a material life instead of spiritual life. Take for example, landline, telephone to cell phone line.
Anyway,
please comment on this.
It's nice that you're thinking on these lines. You can go for spiritual values, don't go for material values, since you are so convinced about it. It's very nice. But basically, all over a period of time, everything, you know, deteriorates. Everything in deteriorates. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sa kalena eva mahata yoga nashta parantapa. So the principles which Lord Gautam Buddha gave, they were all very wonderful principles. But over a period of time, the followers, you know, have lost them. And now they are going in different directions. So in essence, what Gautam Buddha taught was very wonderful. Non-violence. It is one of the things which Lord Krishna also talks about in the Bhagavad Gita. Ahimsa. But the things have become perverted. Everything becomes perverted in this Kali Yuga. It has become perverted also. Okay? Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
First of all, let me offer my humble appreciation for your so beautiful and content lecture. After a long time, I am listening to you.
What is the question, Prabhuji?
Prabhuji, you mentioned that lust, greed and anger.
Yeah.
That is the three gates for the hell. So in today's world, it is like a mouse and cat race. Yeah. Everywhere we can see it in workplace, in the train, or every sphere of life we are seeing that that race. So how could we at least reduce that race and we can convert into that greediness for the devotional service? Yeah. Hare Krishna.
This is a comment, no question. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki. Kirtan.